Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Baseball Money is Fake on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Bet $100 and get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by Sports Gambling Podcast Final Four Watch Party. This Saturday, sweat out your bets and win prizes with Ryan, Sean, and Colby over at youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast.
Welcome to Baseball Money is Fake, a fantasy baseball podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I am Blake Meyer. We're doing a little early episode this week because it is opening day week and we are so excited that we can't hold it anymore. We gotta talk some baseball. Could have waited till tomorrow, but why do that when we could just do it today? It's the weekend. We got nothing better to do but talk baseball. And I am here with my man, Ryan Gilbert. As always, how you doing today, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Had to move this one up from the no Tuesday show this week. But I think like during the season, maybe we should do like Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. So we have Sunday going into the next week. Yeah, you got Thursday going into the weekend. And you got like a Tuesday, Wednesday, like midweek thing. But yeah, we'll figure that out as the season moves along. As you guys tell us what days are best for you guys to listen, what type of content you want, we'll definitely try to pump that out. Maybe we'll try to get up to a daily podcast. It's gonna be tough in April and May with hockey still going on, but I'll balance that out. Yeah, excited to talk baseball here Sunday evening here in Philadelphia. The water is contaminated or may not be. There's a alert set out. People are scrambling to go out and buy water. But yeah, we're here to talk some baseball after the last weekend with no baseball. So now we're going to do some post-draft do's and don'ts.
Dude, don't drink the bad water. Like that's not. We need you getting sick and not being able to show up for an episode. So hopefully you got like a wire or something in your house
to keep you safe out there.
Especially you got that new spot. So yeah, there we go. I love the Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday idea. It makes a lot of sense, especially a little inside baseball money is fake. And me, I have 2 weekly articles for Fantasy Pros starting up next week. One of them will be a StatCast article that comes out on Thursdays, which I'm fucking excited about. Because if you guys have listened to this, you know I love all the weird StatCast numbers. And I get to cover whatever I want in regards to StatCast from the week prior. And then I am in charge of the Fantasy Pros weekly waiver wire article. That will be awesome. I can get that written up and kind of transfer that over to here to you guys. And we can talk about that, discuss what to look for, what not to look for, all those sorts of things on a Sunday episode. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Shout out to Captain Insano in the chat. Thanks for joining us here. And speaking of do's and don'ts, make sure you do follow us on Apple, Twitter, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, search for the Baseball Money is Fake feed. Make sure you get there. Get those downloads up going into the season. Help us grow here going into our first full season. And Twitter, at Fake Baseball, YouTube, Twitch, TikTok, all at Fake Baseball Money. So make sure you follow along there. hopefully going live more on Twitch with maybe the show stuff, possibly, maybe just talking baseball. And yeah, so make sure you subscribe on all those places.
Yes, I'm down to do a little live streaming of MLB The Show. Me and you both got the early access going. I flipped you the double birds before this because you informed me that you pulled Mike Trout, which is, if you played MLB The Show and you play Diamond Dynasty, you know that that is literally the day one player that you want to pull. And you fucking pulled him. So, you know, a gentle fuck you from my end over there. But I did pull Otani, so like
Friday afternoon, you were like, my first packs, I got Sandy, and then I got Otani a few minutes later. I'm like, all right. I needed something.
I never get that lucky early on in the game. Like, it always takes me like a couple weeks.
Yeah, MLB The Show's out, and now we got some finalized rosters here going into opening day week. We saw your boy Jordan Walker has made the Cardinals opening day roster, as you can tell by the title of this.
Yes.
Volpe also made the opening day roster there. Also, Oscar Colas of the White Sox. The Cubs' fifth starter is a prospect, but what Wisniewski was something like that. And then I think Schuster was, yeah. And then I think Jared Schuster is still in the mix for the Braves. So yeah, what do you think about Walker making the team and Volpe as well?
Yeah, I read today that Schuster and Dodd are both making the rotation, I think, because they just put Kyle Wright on the IL because of his shoulder. Hmm. But starting with Jordan Walker, I am hyped. This is something I have expected for a while now. He's just too good to not make the opening day roster. I said it last episode. Nobody shoot me for this, but I see a lot of similarities to kind of the comeuppance of Julio Rodriguez last year. I'm not saying Jordan Walker is the same player as Julio Rodriguez. There's just a lot of similarities. They killed it in the minor leagues. They didn't play anywhere above double A, but then every time they got a chance to perform at kind of a higher competition level, they excelled. He was one of the top players in spring training in terms of total bases and things like that. Switching him to the outfield, so he'll get third base and outfield eligibility at some point in fantasy baseball, which is excellent because those are two fairly thin positions. And even though the Cardinals do kind of have a stacked outfield, there isn't really anybody there besides like our boy Lars is going to hold him up. I think he has a ceiling than O'Neill. I think he's better than any of those other guys. The fact that he made the opening day roster means that he's big giddy jump, which is huge, especially in fantasy baseball. He's going to very quickly become like, he went from being with the ADP of almost 300 to now he's probably going to have a P of 60 going into the season.
I don't know if he'll get that high, but yeah, his ADP is definitely rising. My one worry is I don't know if he will get that outfield playing time. Fangraphs does hasn't projected to DH and bat eighth. O'Neill's not giving up center field. I don't think Lars is going to give up left field. Maybe he'll get some right field time or left field time and shift Newbard to right with Carlson there. But yeah, Walker down in the order, not too much pressure there. The DH, maybe he'll, you know, get some playing time. They'll cycle him in there in the outfield to get that 5 starts and 10 appearances on Yahoo. But yeah, either way, Walker is definitely a guy to watch for the Cardinals. And I think possibly even more so for the Yankees is Anthony Volpe. Volpe could lead off for them. Fangraphs did have him projected to lead off yesterday, but now I look and it's going to be LeMahieu. It says, you know, he could very easily hit himself into that leadoff spot, or just right now they have him batting ninth as that kind of secondary leadoff player. If he gets on base, he's hitting 2 ahead of Aaron Judge. So can't hate that at all for one of the best prospects in their system.
Dude, that would be absolutely nuts if he just went from like, damn, he's really good. He's playing pretty good in spring training. He should make the roster, but he'll probably just spend leagues to make an opening day roster and batting fucking leadoff for the Yankees. That'd be nuts. I mean, it was really hard for them to not bring him up on the opening day roster, though, because he was one of those guys that just played too good to justify sending him down. He hit 314 with 3 home runs and 5 stolen bases in like 50 at bats in spring training. I think he had an OPS over 1,000. Just absurd. Like, and his minor league numbers were incredible as well. Last year, he hit 35 doubles, 21 home runs, stole 50 bases while just hitting 249. But if I remember correctly, he really struggled at the beginning of the year and kind of rounded into form later on with that batting average. So while I don't expect him to be a guy that comes into the major league lineup and hits 300, he could hit like 260, which would be pretty damn good. And he's going to score a ton of runs out there in New York.
Yeah, the other New York game, Brooks Durham, just mentioned in the chat here, Brett Beatty got screwed. And I took Beatty late in my keeper draft. I thought he might have an outside chance of making the team after playing, 11 games with the Mets last year. Spring training hit 325, OPS 885, only one home run. I guess they're going to ride with Vogelbach and Eduardo Escobar and whoever else they have there. But Brett Beatty is definitely a prospect to keep an eye on. And before we get more into that, make sure you check out WynnBET, the official online sports book of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is now active in Massachusetts and tons of other states. Be on the lookout for the WynnBET Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During WynnBET Win Hour, marquee games of the week will have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And March Madness is here. There's so many ways to bet on the big dance. Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100, limited to state availability. And of course, for your DGENs only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to winbet.com or download the WynnBET app. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play with WynnBET is available. If you or somebody knows a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Looking to hang out with Sean and Ryan at Stadium Swim and watch the biggest golf tournament in the world? You can win a 3-night stay at Circa Las Vegas to hang with the guys. The contest is completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/golfparty. And if you don't win the contest, you can still get a discount on a room using promo code SGP15. And the Final Four watch party is going virtual. Hang out with the guys on their YouTube channel for the entire Saturday of Final Four action. Live bets, prize giveaways, and much more. Subscribe to youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast and tune in on Saturday.
Dude, that was like as a parent, that was like the shit that I hate hearing, because like I have three kids. I mean, it's a side note from the ad. It's not, I don't hate hearing gambling ads. I fucking love that. But like as you're recording the ad, like my boys are down there. Girlfriend's gone. Daughter's gone at a birthday party right now. So I'm just chilling up here in the room. And then I heard the loudest bang like over my headset. I heard it. And then everything went silent in the house after that. And then I heard them sprint upstairs. And so I'm like, oh God. I'm going to go check on that after we're done here. I know they're both alive because I heard two sets of footsteps, but I don't know what the fuck just happened in there. Yay. But for those of you that are here, if you can't tell by the title, we're here to talk some post-fantasy baseball draft do's and don'ts. I know we put a couple lists together. I think we should probably cover do's first.
We can go back and forth. One do, one don't. Or just whatever flows the best. I'll keep it with the prospects. Right, so
what's your first?
Yeah. It's not necessarily my first, but one I have here is do keep an eye on prospects. Guys like Brett Beatty, guys that missed out on making the team that, you know, people might drop, or even Jordan Walker, Anthony Volpe. If they get off to a slow start and your person that drafted them is going to drop them, you know, take a chance on them, stashing them. That's something you have to do. Keep an eye on those guys that were on the fringe of making rosters. If they made it, see how they do. If they missed it, you know, they're going to tear it up in the minors. They're going to be motivated to make the big league. So keep an eye on those guys and just be more proactive than other managers in your league if you can. And keep an eye on them and just, because those are the guys that if you pick them up in April, or if you draft them and then you drop them in April or May and someone else picks them up, they can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, that's kind of similar to one of mine. And it's just, you can make a watch list, guys. I mean, usually as soon as your draft's over and like waivers open up, like on ESPN, like you can just add people to a watch list and it just keeps them separate. I tell you, wanted on my team, but I wasn't confident enough to draft, whether they be prospects or late round guys that you don't really know how they're going to end up playing. You're not going to add them into my watch list so I can keep an eye on them going into the season, because they're guys that you need to keep an eye on, and it just makes it easier that way.
Yeah. All right. I have, there's a prospect you definitely got to keep an eye on there. I also have two here that are kind of connected. Everyone after the draft, you definitely want to just go out and scour the waiver wire. You want to see who's out there. You want to see who wasn't drafted. You know, there's definitely going to be guys you're like, oh, how is he not drafted? But you look at them and you want to find your weak spots and look at the waiver wire. But don't get too excited with the waiver wire. With the waiver wire, make sure you look at it. Make sure you see who's available on the waiver wire. But you don't, while you do go to the waiver wire, scour the waiver wire, that's absolutely a do. Don't waste your waiver priority. If you had the last pick in your draft, you have the top waiver priority. Don't waste that on just a guy right after the draft. If it's someone like Walker, like Volpe, that made the team and wasn't drafted, maybe do that. But otherwise, even if you're a mid waiver priority or late, don't waste that. Don't waste your waiver priority. That's valuable in the middle of this season, the first few weeks, first few months, when, if someone gets off to a slow start and someone overreacts and drops one of their better players, you want to have as high waiver priority as possible. Obviously, there's also FAAB, free agent auction budget, different leagues. That's a completely different animal. I'm excited to get into that this year. But for just the standard leagues with the waiver order, make sure you do go look at the waiver wire. But most importantly, do not waste that priority, because that is valuable. Wait for them to hit free agency, or just if it's rotating waivers, it's different. But if it goes from waivers to free agency, just wait those 2 days, and then you can see who's there.
Yeah, that's actually the very first thing that is on my list of do's and don'ts, is don't hit the waiver wire before the season starts unless injuries dictate so. Like, if you did your draft like 3 weeks ago, and it's okay to hit the waiver wire now before the season starts, because you probably need to fill in that position, obviously, and get somebody that can hold the fort down while Altuve's out, even though he's not going to be back for, my guess is 3 months. But like something
I
like that,
he'll
like,
be back by June.
You don't want to. You think so? Yeah, that makes sense. You don't want to jump the gun. You want to trust the process, because if you were in a fantasy baseball draft, you put the time to research the players you wanted into that draft. You put the time, the effort, the whatever you want to call it, into knowing how you wanted to draft, picking the players you picked during the draft. You need to trust the process and not overthink it. Do not take all of that time to do that draft, and then once waivers open up, just start off on waivers, switching your whole roster up. Like, give it a week, give it 2 weeks, give it time to see if you did as well as you did, and then adjust from there.
I actually have a counterpoint to that. One of my don'ts is don't get attached to your guys. Like, you go into a draft knowing what your plan is, but you don't necessarily. Ooh. Obviously, you have your guys. Like, we have Lars Nootbaar, Jordan Walker, whoever else we like. But like, don't get attached to someone just because he's on your team now. Like, a team that wins a championship in real sports, if they're on the team for a few days, they get a ring. If you want to use these players as you can to advance towards a championship, if you want to just draft them, someone else is better on the waiver wire, pick them up. Don't overreact to stuff. And don't get attached. It's sure you have your players you want to hold on to. Like, okay, I drafted him, I'm investing in him now. But are you really? I mean, 24 hours ago, or however long before the draft, you didn't have him. You had no idea who you would have, and now he's on your team. He's one of your guys for now. But like, always be open to not necessarily dropping them, but trading them. Trading, that's a whole different discussion we can have. Is like, post-draft trading, what to look for, trade.
That's on my list as well.
Yeah, that's yeah. But my biggest thing is just don't get attached to your guys. It's you might have your one or two or three guys. You're like, okay, I reach for them. I'm going to hold them. I'm in the long haul. But other than that, I am the other way, where you drafted these guys. If it's someone you're unsure of that has a slow start, cut bait.
Oh yeah, no, I only hold them out for. They have like a week or two. If they're iffy guys that I drafted, they have a week or two to show me something, show me some kind of sign of life, like do fucking anything. Because if you don't, then you're gone. I'm just saying, like, for example, I just did a home league draft on, what was it, Friday. And that draft ended up excellent draft. I absolutely loved that points league draft. I got all my guys, all that sort of thing. There's a few guys at the end of the round or at the end of the draft that I took that were iffy guys, but I wanted them on my team. I would get rid of them now. They're riding it out roster until the season starts. They've got a week to do anything. Like get a 2-for-4 game, and then we can keep moving and see if you can keep that spot on my roster. But after that point, everything's fair game. Like I don't even care. Like if you were an iffy guy on my team and you go 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts, you're probably getting cut and I'll pick somebody else up, especially in a weekly league like I'm in there. Like I don't got time for that shit.
All right. What else you got on your list? I feel like I just ran through 2 or 3 of mine.
Another one. I mean, we touched on trades, so that was one of mine for trading was a don't trade before the season starts. Same type of thing. Trust the process. Like I'm big on, again, my guys, I drafted them for a reason. I set that lineup for a reason. So I'm not going to make a trade. I did almost kind of veer off of that in the SGPN Dynasty League. Played with Matt.
You know, for Harper.
That man wants a King's ransom for Bryce Harper.
He does, doesn't he?
I just told him, probably pass. Oh, yeah. I mean, granted, I probably didn't. Okay, here, I'll tell you what I offered him. And Sando's here, too. You are also in the league, good sir. I offered Fat and George Springer for Harper, which
who?
Is probably a little Brandon Fat and George Springer for Harper. Okay. It wasn't a terrible overpay, but like I know Bryce Harper is Bryce Harper, and I know what he's gonna put up when he's here. So I had to give something, and he turned that down so fast. I think he turned it down before I finished typing it, is how fast he turned it down. And so, like, that was kind of where I was just like, you know what? Nah, I'm just trusting the process. I like my guys. I got my guys. I'm going to ride it out because Harper's a tough cookie to – I don't even fucking know where I was going with that. He's a tough one to go for right now.
Yeah. I, once again, opposite. I think, you know, you should be open to trading right after the draft. Maybe not – don't get too trade happy, but identify where your weaknesses are. You go into the draft with a plan. And, you know, you might come out of it not necessarily happy with how you executed that. I'm pretty happy with my draft, for example, but my outfield, I think, is a little bit of a weakness. I got Judge second overall. I got Eloy Jimenez, who, if he stays healthy, he's a great number two outfielder. Then I have Yoshida and Nuke Barr as an outfield util, my third outfielder. I'm hoping one of those guys pans out, but that's one position that I'm going to be looking to address, definitely. But also, I do have Tatis, who will get outfield eligibility eventually. And yeah, I think that's something to do is, you know, trade, identify your deficiencies, you know, look throughout your league. If it's the league you've been in for a few years, you know who's going to be open to trade. You know who's going to not be open to trade. If it's a new league with new managers, nope, just throw someone an offer. Be like, okay, I need this position. I see this could help you. You know, is there anything we could work out here? Like, I think that's something where you identify your trade targets. In that same vein, also identify your first few drops. You don't want to be like, okay, this guy made the team, or this guy had a great day. Let me go pick him up. Let me go race to pick him up. You need to know who your first 2 or 3 drops are. It's tough. It's tough because you do get attached to your guys. You're like, okay, I picked that guy in this round. I don't want to drop him. I picked this guy late in the last round. I think that's a good value pick. I don't want to drop him. But it's fantasy baseball. It's pickup. It's not best ball. It's, make sure you know, you know, who those guys on the fringe are. I have a few guys that are just in kind of a bullpen battle, so I'm hoping that resolves itself by opening day and I can drop some of them. And also, a big thing to look for, not necessarily even after drafts, in drafts and also after drafts, look for guys that are on the IL, either late in your drafts, because that's just a free roster spot, or after look on waivers or look on free agents for someone like, you know, Walker Buehler. He might not return this year, but if you have a few IL spots, pick him up. Why not? Or someone like Altuve. Yeah. Don't be afraid to draft him too late. Don't be afraid to draft Glass now. Don't be afraid to pick up those guys. Where if you have IL eligible people, if you have NA eligible, if that's a thing in your league, make sure you take advantage of those.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It's something I haven't really done the best job of. With the IL stuff, which I wish I would have. And I thought about that after my last draft too, because Glasnow fell so far. And I just kept telling myself, like, you don't want him. You don't want him. Dude, they drafted him, literally just drafted him, threw him on the IL, and then was ready to pick up another pitcher to fill that spot. That's going to, I don't even remember who he picked up. It was somebody that has a pretty solid early season schedule. Kind of one of the things that Nick Pollock has talked about both times he's come on the show, target those guys with easy matchups early on. That's exactly what he did. Take Glasnow late, throw him on the IL, pick up a streamer to start the year, and you're in business. And that's pretty much a free player. That's aggression to pick up guys is smart too, just because, and knowing who your first drops are going to be, because like there's a lot of times where players like the top prospect guys that get called up, like they might seem like an excellent person to add, but if your roster construction is on point, that doesn't mean that you have somebody to drop. So as much as they might be cool to have on the fantasy squad, it doesn't mean that they're better than who it was you were going to drop. So don't get over enamored by names or hype trains or things. We're big on pushing hype trains here, but the reality of it is, like, don't grab somebody just because you're grabbing somebody in a 10 team redraft league. Don't grab Volpe if you have two top five stops on your roster already. There's probably not, it's not going to make a whole lot of sense as the season goes on.
Yeah, you have to know your roster and know where your holes are and be like, okay, I can drop this guy. Or like you said, if you already have a great shortstop and a good backup shortstop, yeah, you're not going to end up picking up Volpe unless you're picking him up with the idea to either trade him or trade one of your other guys. That's all I would do that for. All right, we are also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy continues with their March Madness College Pick'em. It's a great way to get in on the action, especially if your bracket is busted, which I imagine it is here going to the Final Four. Plus, Underdog Fantasy has your favorite college basketball player props and great NBA and NHL daily games, MLB best ball as well, daily games coming up. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, so I have Uno Mas on my list. I have another, and it is kind of similar to what I just said about, oh, the guy drafted Glasnow, threw him on the IL, grabbed that good early season matchup pitcher. It is due keep an eye on early season schedules. It'll help you better understand your players, whether like guys off to a hot start or guys off to a cold start. If you got a guy that's off to a cold start, but he starts the year against like the Phillies and the Braves, and he's like, oh, 12 after his first whatever, or he's sucking after the first 2 weeks because he played some crazy good teams, you don't need to burn everything down and you don't need to jump ship. It's just one of those rough stretches that players tend to go to, and it just starts early. Kind of like Hunter Green last year is a prime example. I think his first seven games of the year last year were against playoff teams the year prior. He went against like the Braves twice, the Dodgers, the Philly. Like, he played all these crazy teams and got rocked. It happens. But then he ended the year with a six-game stretch that won some people their fantasy baseball championships because he was so lights out. And, yeah, and also same for guys that are doing really well. Like, if it's guys that are doing really well, but they're facing, like, the Tigers and the fucking Royals for their first couple series, and he's got four home runs in his first two series, that's awesome. But also temper your expectations a little bit, because when he plays, like some more legitimate teams, it's not going to be so sweet. So keep track of who they're playing, and it helps you really measure that success they're having.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. I got through most of mine as well, but yeah, don't overreact to either hot or cold starts, and also don't chase hot starts. I remember perfect example of that. I'm trying to find what year it was. 2006. Chris Shelton of the Detroit Tigers. Oh, opening day, two home runs.
Throwback.
Next day, 3 for 5. Two home runs the next day. One home run the next day. He had 5 home runs in his first 4 games. Had two more home runs. One in his 8th, one in his 9th game. 2 more, 12 and 13. So what's that? That's like 9 home runs in his first 13 games. Everyone was racing to pick him up. It was a great hot start for him. But he ended up finishing 06 with just 16 home runs in 115 games. Like, those are guys who, if they don't have the pedigree, if they don't have the minor league numbers, if they don't have the scouting report, you know, sometimes they can come out of nowhere and maybe give them a chance. If you have someone, you can drop for them. If you have someone you were on the fence about, but don't necessarily chase those hot starts. And exactly what you said, especially if it's against someone, against like bad pitching, or if it's a cold start against good pitching, don't overreact to that and don't drop. I wouldn't drop like a top 10 pick for at least a few months unless you dropped them unless you drafted him knowing it's a high risk, high reward type of pick. Like, in that instance, do stick by your guys if you draft them higher as far as dropping them are, but don't get too attached in trades. I think that's something where I mentioned it before, trade etiquette, you know, put feelers out there to get to people in your league that you know are active in trade and be like, okay, maybe they overvalue someone that you undervalue or vice versa. And there's a connection there. If you have, you know, two good second basemen or two good third basemen, that's a weak position, and you need outfield, you know, try to do a swap with someone that, you know, missed out on those top players at a weak position. So just, you know, focus on your team, but also make sure you look around the league to where you can possibly connect with someone to help both of you, but ultimately win your trade.
Yes, that's the most important part. And I love Shelton throwback. That was like my high school days back in the day when that shit happened. Yeah. Same with like Dimitri Young or whoever it was for the Tigers when he hit 3 home runs on opening day. And how many home runs he ended the year with. But also, I love Dimitri Young because big time card collector. And I'm big into card collecting as well. So I got to love a fellow card collector. But yeah, I mean, fuck, my list is done, but I want to talk more baseball. So I got a draft coming up tonight. Do you have any more on your list?
I don't. We touched through them all. I mean, if you guys in the chat have any questions and any comments, we will answer those. Catherine Sano just said high school. Damn. Yeah, I was in high school too back in, or was I eighth grade high school back in 06. Yeah, I guess, I don't know. Are we old or are we young? I have no idea. Touch on a prospect we have in here. You'll know, Gabriel Moreno, a catcher for the Diamondbacks. Where did you end up putting him with your catcher rankings?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to go with Big Dumper. My friend took him right before me, so I went with Moreno there. I'm happy with him. I'm hoping he has a good start, but otherwise I'm going to have to go on the waiver wire.
I bumped him up to number 13 for now. I think he is a top 12 guy. I'm just not confident enough to put him over Stevenson yet.
I don't like Stevenson. I was looking at him in my draft last night. On
Stevenson's health.
I'm just not.
I like him if he stays healthy, but it's just a matter of, is he going to fucking stay healthy? I think he played, what, like 50 games last year before he hurt himself again, which always seems to happen. But something like Moreno, he's like a Alejandro Kirk light. And I love hitters playing out there in Arizona, which is helpful. I mean, he hit over 300 last year at the minor league level. Nine, how many games is that? 22 games for Toronto as well. He was going to be like the second fiddle to Carson Kelly in Arizona. And then that dude, I don't even remember how he got hurt, but he's out for quite a while. He hurt something pretty bad. Yeah, that's right. Broke his arm. And now Gabriel Moreno is going to be the starting catcher. He's still going very late in drafts. My draft that I did on Friday, I wanted to get William Contreras. He's been my number one catcher target this season. And he got taken like two rounds before I would ever take him by somebody that doesn't really know much about fantasy baseball. Shout out, Evan. I appreciate you stealing him from me.
Apparently,
it was
he does
a good pick
though.
On your part. Yeah, I mean, we drafted five closers, so you got to navigate this one this year, Evan. You're going to trial by fire. We're going to see how that goes. I've never seen anybody do that. But
I want to address
Murillo, he's in a good lineup out there.
Yeah, I'll Captain Asano in the chat, you said we forgot the most important one, know your rules and know your scoring.
Yes.
You have to know that before your draft. That's not something you look at looking to after your draft. If you haven't looked at it yet, look at it, absolutely, and that should be a pre-draft thing that you do. But yeah, if you haven't post-draft, look at that, see what categories you're lacking in, see where you can maybe expose a little bit, find a loophole, and see after the draft if there's any categories you should be punting. If you drafted a closer early and didn't really get a second or a third good one, maybe offer that closer up on the trade block and get a batter for him or get a starting pitcher for him, because even if you have the best closer, if you only have him, you're not going to win saves. And closers, everyone's always looking for a closer. So I think that's a solid strategy.
Yeah, I know in TGFBI, I'm looking for a closer because I got Hudson, and I'm not as sold on him as the Dodgers closer this year as I was when I drafted him. And a lot of my TGFBI success that I kind of saw coming my way was because I did take that third closer late and I thought I was killing it with that. And now, I mean, he's hurt to start the year. He's going to go on the IL, so he's not going to play. And then they got Gratterall, who has some damn good stuff, who's probably going to fill in for a closer while he's out. And if Gratterall lights shit up, Hudson's not going to come back and be the closer for the Dodgers. Gratterall will get the keys to the car. And I'm out, and I'm going to be stuck using some of my free agent auction budget to try and fill that third closer spot in somewhere. I knew I should have took four, rolled the dice with three. That's fucking stupid of me. You are weak after your draft is important also. If you kind of neglected a position somewhere and that it could be in line for a big improvement moving forward, keep an eye on that. I know, like my league that I drafted on Friday, not to keep talking about it, but it's an ESPN league, and my dumbass was I had a plan going into the draft. I didn't pay attention. I took Mookie at seven, which I loved. I absolutely love taking Mookie at seven. I'm happy that I took Mookie at seven, but I realized after the draft that Mookie Betts does not have second base eligibility on ESPN. I found that out after. So my starting second baseman is Brandon Lowe, who I know you love. Brandon Lowe,
he's got some power.
He's got something, and then I got Tyro Estrada, who was one of my sleeper picks for this year. But he wasn't like I have him as my starting second baseman type. So that really screwed me. So understanding where you might have fucked up and messed your roster up a little bit before the season starts is also do understand that. Don't neglect to pay attention to position eligibilities while drafting.
Yeah, absolutely have to know that just so where it fills out. Betts actually fell to 11th in my draft on Saturday, which I was absolutely shocked by. I wish I had 11th pick. I would have been very happy with taking Mookie Betts, but I can't be mad with taking Judge second overall.
I know in that league, I got, I was picking seven. I got Mookie Betts, and then when it came back around to me, I got Kyle Tucker. I don't know how I got those two, but I'm happy because I have like two of my top My Fantasy Pros rankings, I think they're two of my top nine. I think Kyle Tucker's nine. Two of my top nine. And then I got Shane McClanahan when it came back around, and he's my number five pitcher on my Fantasy Pros rankings. So top of the draft was excellent. Man, Insano, if he can hit 25 or 30 home runs, I'll be happy. I wouldn't hate the pick so much. I don't know if Loken
can have a lot home 2 years ago
again.
It's 39. Yeah, 2 years ago, he had like 38. And then last year he was hurt.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
So we'll see. I hope he can. I would feel a lot better about it if that happens, but I also just wish Mookie would have second base eligibility, and I wish I was smart enough to check that.
Yeah. But
damn, that fucked me over. I think that's all I've got for you guys. Oh, no, yeah, go ahead.
No, speaking of the Dodgers second base, Miguel Vargas, he's first base eligible in Yahoo. He's going to get second base because he's starting there. Another prospect to look out for there. Yeah, he's got power. Maybe he'll move up that lineup. The Dodgers lineup isn't great outside the top three or four, if you're including Muncy, if you think he'll bounce back. But yeah, Vargas is another prospect to keep an eye on.
Yeah, a weird spring training, which I think has kind of kept people away from him in drafts, but I don't think they realize that he got hit.
Couldn't he not swing for a bit?
Yeah,
He went up there just not swinging.
Eight games or something. They told him to not swing.
Yeah,
or eight at bats. Yeah,
he's still got
29 in spring training and 35 at bats. But yeah, he's got power. He's a good kind of everything you look for in somebody that taking everyday at bats for the Dodgers. Especially starting second base, where second base is so thin. And so getting somebody in that Dodgers lineup, which I think the Dodgers lineup is a step down from last year. They don't have Justin Turner anymore. They don't have Trey Turner. They don't got the Turner boys anymore. Mm-hmm. But they still got Mookie. They still got Freddie Freeman. They still got Will Smith. They still got a lot of guys there that are going to put the bat on the ball. So runs are possible. I don't know where roster resource has Vargas hitting for the Dodgers. Eighth. My guess would be the lower half of the lineup, yeah. Like 7-8. Yeah. Down there with like Trace Thompson. Mm-hmm. So there'll be guys on base in front of him if he can manage to get him on. Last year in the minor leagues, 113 games, he hit .304 with 32 doubles and 17 home runs and stole 16 bases. So there's some upside there, especially now that he's allowed to swing the bat. So he's an excellent one to keep an eye on because he's on my watch list. Like I talked at the beginning, the dues of making a watch list. He's on my watch list on ESPN. He's the first person I added. I was going to take him at the end of the draft, but I didn't because I know he's not on anybody else in my league's radar. And since I have such a question mark in my eyes at second base, he's one that I'm going to wait till the eligibility pops up, and I'll probably take him. And also, I took Grayson Rodriguez with the last pick in a 12-team, 25-round draft on ESPN. I don't know how,
but I can't hate that at all. Can't hate that. But yeah, watch lists are very important. Speaking of watching, make sure you are watching us if you'd like to on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. We go live. We'll get a set schedule for the season, but usually it's Tuesday, Thursday, Monday, or Sunday for a third one probably. But keep an eye out on that. You can always follow us on Twitter at Fake Baseball, at Fake Baseball Money on YouTube, TikTok, and Twitch. And make sure you're subscribed to the Baseball Money is Fake feed on Apple Podcasts. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review. Spotify, you can leave us a 5-star rating. And you can always let us know what you think on Twitter, at Fake Baseball, or just send us questions. And, of course, the Discord, sg.pn/Discord. I'm going to try to be more active in the MLB channel this season, but the hockey channel is where it's at. So if you really want to have a fun time in Discord, it's a hockey channel. But if you tag me in the MLB channel, I'll be sure to respond.
Yeah, we're literally everywhere. I don't realize that until we list them all off. I mean, I got the Facebook jumping too.
I've
slacked on the Facebook a little. I will admit that, but man, we're on Facebook too.
All you boomers out there,
like me. Just like a baseball money is fake on Facebook. It pops up. We're there. I try and upload all the episodes. I upload reels on Facebook. I do the YouTube shorts, the TikToks. I've been slacking on some of those lately. It's a hectic couple weeks for me. The Fantasy Pro stuff going. I'll let you guys know. I haven't let the world know yet, but I am back working with Roto Baller as well. as of this weekend, that'll get announced soon when we get the logistics of that finalized. So I had a lot of stuff going on. But yeah, you can catch me on Twitter at Buhlocke, B-U-H-H-L-O-C-K-A-Y-E.
And you can follow me on Twitter at R. Gilbert, S-O-P.
And we'll catch you guys next time.